We're going to start in Psalm 103, and we're going to look at the name of the Lord. 103, verse 1, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Bless God's holy name. When Jesus Christ taught his disciples how to pray, what was the first line of that? It was, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed means holy, separate from all the rest, special. So, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I looked up the word name in the Bible, and it's used over 1,000 times. And it's used for a number of things. It's used to designate an individual or a place, or animals were given names. God gave Adam the task of naming all the animals. So he gave them all names. There's names of things, everything that we have, a mandolin, a cup, a book, a sofa, there's a name for everything. And a lot of things have individual names. If you have a pet, you give, it's not just a dog or a schnauzer or whatever it might be, but you give your pet a name that you teach it to respond to. We name our children. Your child will inherit the last name of the father, right? And then the father, the mother will decide what's the first name going to be. What's the middle name going to be? Some names are descriptive. Some names are based on where a person's from or who their parent is. Or there's all different reasons why someone might have a name given to them. There's names of diseases. There's names of medicines to cure the diseases. There's names of any kind of product you would buy. You look it up on Amazon, you go to the store, everything has a name. Every company has a name. So there's all kinds of things that a name will represent. A person's name would have to do with their reputation. When you mention the name of somebody, they might think, oh, that's a good person, or that's a lousy person. So a person can be famous or infamous or obscure. Like, I never heard of that person. Who the heck is he? And when it comes to God, his name is important. When it talks about God's name, it talks about his authority, his power, his reputation, what he stands for, what his will is, what he's interested in. Of course, he's the God who created the heavens and the earth, right? That's the first thing it says about God in the Bible, is that God created the heavens and the earth. When you just think about that one thing, you think, wow, he created everything. His name should have that kind of weight for every living person. Everything, every person should have to stand in awe of the name of God. Unfortunately, not everybody's does, But the one who wrote the psalm said, "All that is within me, bless his holy name." And it talks about the benefits, the things that God does, how he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases and redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, and how he executes righteousness. And it's just wonderful, the things that God does. And those are all things that are included in his name, what he does, what he has done, his faithfulness, his wisdom, his power, all these things. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14, this has to do with Abraham and another fellow named Melchizedek. And Abraham, who's still named Abram at this point, had fought a battle. There were these kings that were just conquering one kingdom after another. So they must have been pretty powerful as far as their ability to defeat other kingdoms. And they took the kingdom of Sodom. And the problem was Abraham's nephew was there, Lot. So Abraham, he went after him. He had friends in the area and he had servants. And they went after these conquering kings and they beat them. They slaughtered them. And in chapter 14, this man named Melchizedek, he blesses Abram in verse 18. Genesis 14, 18 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And then Abram gave him tithes of all. So he blessed him, and he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. He was speaking for the Most High God when he said that, and he had the authority to do so. He was not only a king, but he was a priest of the Most High God. So he was speaking in an official capacity when he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Now, we don't know the backstory of Melchizedek and how he got to be a king and a priest. It just doesn't say, other than God appointed him to be so. But it does tell us about somebody else who became a spokesman for God, and that's Moses. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Moses is the first person in the Bible that it's written of him that he said, thus saith the Lord. And there is a backstory to Moses. We know exactly. We know his family. We know he was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Levi. We know his lineage, his father and his mother, how the Pharaoh's daughter adopted him to be her own, raised him in the court of Egypt, and how he killed an Egyptian to defend a Hebrew, and was in exile for 40 years. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He called his name. God knew his name, and he called it. He said, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So God identified himself to him so he would know who's talking to him. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your ancestors. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So who did God say was going to bring them out? Said, I'm come down to deliver them. I'm going to do this, right? So far, so good as far as Moses is concerned. Now, therefore, verse 9, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. So, oh, wait a minute. I thought you were going to do this. I'll be cheering you on. I'll be applauding your efforts. But now he said, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. That's how God's going to do it. That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And this is that. This prompts a response from Moses, where he said, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You said you were going to do it. What do you want me to do this for? I'm nobody. I left Egypt. I killed an Egyptian. You know, I'm not the guy. Verse 12, and he, God said, certainly I will be with thee. You're not going to go by yourself. I'll be with you. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. He said, this will be a token that I have sent thee. When you send somebody to do something or to say something, that person is now your representative, right? Moses would not be speaking for himself. It's not, hey, I'm Moses and I want my people out of there. He would be sent by God to do this. He'd be a representative. And I have a little understanding of what that means, because I spent most of my working career as a representative, as a salesperson, but not as a person who would buy things and sell it to somebody else, but a person who would represent a company and approach businesses or individuals in the name of that company. So at this point, I can't do that because I'm not employed by any company. So I can't speak for like the former companies that I used to work for and say, hey, I can sign you up for this service or sell you this product. I don't have the authority to do that. But while I was employed by them, I had the authority to say, okay, this is what my company does. This is what it will do for you. This is what it costs. And if you sign here, you can have this. Moses was sent on behalf of God, where God wants this. God will do this. God will bring this to pass. You see, he'll be sent. Now, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, look, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Because you told me you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but what are you called? What's your name? That was important for Moses to understand. What should I put on my business card? You know, Moses, representative of who? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And the word I am, that's used both times, is the Hebrew word hayah, which some of you might be familiar with that Hebrew word, because that's the word that was used in Genesis. And many times in the Bible where it says, and the earth was without form and void. After God created the heavens and earth, it says, earth was without form and void. It wasn't created without form and void, but it became that way. And then it says, and God said, let there be light. The word be, hayah. Let there hayah, light. And there was hayah, light. God said, let light become, and light became. So whatever God would say would happen, it would become that way. And God said of himself, I become what I become. I determine what I am going to be, and I become that. So God is in charge of his own existence, his own characteristics, of everything. He self-determines that. He's the one that has the right to do so because he created everything. And he speaks of himself in that way. I become what I become. I will be what I will be. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, or Hayah, hath sent me unto you, the one who will be what he will be. And the name Jehovah or Yahweh is a form of the word Hayah. And that's what it means. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, Hayah, or Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord, that's Jehovah, Yahweh, Hayah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I've surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. So you speak in my name. And then once you say, this is what God says, I will bring you out. When you speak in the first person now in my name, you're speaking for me. You're speaking my words, not your own words. You're speaking my words as a representative of me. Verse 18 says, and they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come down the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. So he tells them what the response is going to be. And it's going to be a negative response, but that's not going to be the end of it. Verse 20, and I will stretch out my hand and will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Chapter 4. Now, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So it's interesting that one of the greatest prophets that there ever was so reluctant. When you read this, you see, it was definitely not Moses' idea to do any of this. He didn't want to have any part of it. He would have been very content being a shepherd in the land of the Midianites for the rest of his life. And Moses, he was just against it. And God had to really work with him to get him to want to do this and to carry it out. And when you read the rest of this chapter, you see that God tells him, like, drop your stick on the ground. It turns into a snake and he runs away from it because it's a real snake now. They said, pick it up by the tail. Yeah, that's the wrong end. Just do it. And it becomes a stick again. And put your hand in your bosom and pull it up. It's leprosy, real leprosy. Put it back in. It's all better now. So you'll do these things. Plus, you'll take water from the Nile River and pour it on the ground. It'll become blood. And when you do this, the people will believe you. Okay? Now you just go. And you say, well, you know, I don't talk well. I'm not eloquent. I said, I'm slow of tongue. And I don't, knowing that Moses later in his life did a lot of talking. You know, you read the book of Deuteronomy, that's all Moses taught. I don't think he had a speech impediment. I am more inclined to think that you want me to go to Pharaoh. It's been a long time since I've spoken Egyptian. And, you know, they're going to make fun of me because I'm going to get the words wrong. And, you know, the grammar and the syntax is going to, you know, it's not going to work out. Even though Hebrew, you know, he's in the land of the Midianites now. I don't know what language they spoke, but the Midianites might have had another language. He'd been there 40 years. So he's rusty in his Hebrew, he's rusty in his Egyptian, He says, look, your brother can speak very well. You know, I'm going to send him to meet you. And here's how it's going to work. Let's skip down to verse 15 regarding Moses and Aaron. Thou, Moses, shall speak unto him, to Aaron, and put words in his mouth. So I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you, both of you, what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Cool. So Moses, I will tell you what to say. You tell Aaron what I told you to say, and he will say it to the people. So there'll be the pair of you. God would not reveal it to Aaron directly. He would reveal it to Moses. And then Moses would speak it to Aaron, and then Aaron would speak it out loud. That would be the arrangement, at least in the beginning. I don't think that continued all their lives, but at least in the beginning, that's how God solved the problem for them. So he met with Aaron, and they did that. But I want to look at verse 22. And this is the place where God tells him to say, thus saith the Lord. Verse 22, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So as soon as he would say, thus saith the Lord, and speak in the first person, now he's speaking for God, as if God were saying it. But it's actually going to be Aaron saying it. God telling Moses what to say, Moses telling Aaron what to say. So when Aaron would say, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Aaron's not saying Israel's my son, because Israel was his like great, 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 great grandfather, right? So he's saying, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Now he's speaking for God. He's speaking the words of God. And that's a privilege that people have that God designates. He designated Moses as the one to receive the information from God, and he designated Aaron as the one to speak it in the presence of Pharaoh, in the presence of the Israeli people. And in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go. Let my people go. So it's not Moses' people, not Aaron's people, it's God's people. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh's response was, who is the Lord, this Jehovah that you speak of, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Not a good position to be in. But in Pharaoh's mind, he says, look, I'm the king. Everybody does what I say. We worship the gods that I have designated as the gods that we are to worship. All the idols, they're given names by people, right? Nobody gave God a name. Mm-hmm. God gave himself the name, and God gave people names, but nobody gave God a name. And this Pharaoh did not recognize the Lord, this Jehovah, this Hayah individual, as one of the gods that I, Pharaoh, have decided that we're to worship. And I'm not going to obey his voice. Who do you think you are? And I don't know this God that you claim to represent. Well, you know the rest of this one. We're not going to read the whole thing this morning. It would take too long. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. So by the time they left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, now Moses is doing all the talking. And Moses would go up to the mountain and talk with God and come down and tell the people what God said. This is what God says. And he made a covenant with them, and the people agreed to it. And God had Moses bring the people up to this mountain where it was all on fire and smoke. And God spoke to them audibly, where they could hear the voice of God give them out loud the Ten Commandments. And the people's response was, they were scared to death. They all backed off, and they You know, they sent the elders to tell Moses, Moses, why don't you go up there where all the fire and the smoke is and this loud voice and just have God talk to you. Don't have them talk to us because we're all going to die if this happens. We'll just faint and have heart attacks and things. So you go up there, you listen to God, you come back down and we'll do whatever he says. And Moses said, okay. And God said, okay, that's actually a fair arrangement. Although while Moses was up there for 40 days, the people decided to make a golden calf. But anyway, in chapter 18, Moses is reminding them of that thing that happened, that event, where they made that arrangement. And Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God, this is Moses talking to the people, reminding him of that time, the Lord God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. Remember, you had told me that. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Because God knew that Moses wasn't going to live forever. He says, I'm going to raise them up another prophet like you, Moses, that would hear from me and tell the people what I said faithfully. And it shall come to pass, verse 19, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Okay? So God would designate a prophet, and it would be among the Israeli people, the children of Israel, that God would put his words in their mouth. By revelation, he would tell them what to say, and that person would speak on God's behalf. And there were a number of prophets that did that. You know, Samuel was one, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You know, there are many of them that spoke in God's name and said, thus saith the Lord. If you look up the phrase, thus saith the Lord, you'll see it a number of times spoken by a number of people, and they were commanded to do so. God gave them the words to speak. And if anybody would say, thus saith the Lord, and say something that they made up, they were in big trouble. And there were prophets who called themselves prophets and said things in the name of God that were not true, that God had not said, and they did suffer the consequences of doing that. So this was not a job to be taken lightly. A prophet was to hear exactly what God said and say it exactly the way God said it. His life was at stake. He was not supposed to add to it or subtract from it. He was not supposed to change the message. He was supposed to represent God, speak for him as his spokesman, and do it faithfully. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Jesus Christ, among other things that he was a prophet. And Jesus Christ said of himself in chapter 12, start in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, and he's speaking publicly, and he's speaking to the chief rulers of Israel. Just got to mention in verse 42, it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They did not admit to believing on him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. So if you believe on me, it's not just me. It's on him that sent me, on God. Then he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not personally. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken of myself. But the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. That was Jesus Christ as the spokesman for God, as the representative for God. He came in his Father's name. And I think that's all the time we have for this morning, but I'm going to continue with this next week and look at Jesus Christ coming in his Father's name. And we've seen a little bit about what it means to speak in the name for God. We're also going to look at what it means to act in the name of another, on behalf of another, how to speak or act in someone's name can be by commandment or by permission. And we're going to look at also appealing on the name of one that has greater authority than yourself. So there's a lot to this name business. But the important thing for now is to know that the name of God is above all. And to speak in God's name is something that is a very serious business. So God, we thank you for how great your name is. And we praise your holy name and we honor it because it's you who created the heavens and the earth. It's you who have done all these things. And we're so thankful and privileged to know you as our Father and that we're your children. And what an honored position you have given to us as children of the Most High God. And we thank you in the name of your Son, the name that you have given him above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.